The Quranic mantra of justice is one which seeks to ensure that we are fair to everyone and that everyone is amply compensated for work they have put in. Unfortunately, rich and powerful nations, corporations, and individuals take advantage of people in the worst ways. 21st century slavery. Today, we review the topic of economic exploitation, the haves and have-nots. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for today, the 27th of this blessed month of Ramadan. Only a couple more days of fasting left, only a couple more days in which our involuntary acts such as sleeping and breathing are considered as acts of worship. Come the first of Shawwal, the day of Eid, all of the blessings that God had been giving to us, the special blessings, the blessings over and above what he normally gives will come to an end. And we'll be back to life with having lost the special blessings. So let us make the most of these next few days, brothers and sisters, if we have not yet really tapped in to the vast mercy and forgiveness and love and benevolence of our Creator God. You know, today's topic about economic exploitation, the haves and the have-nots, is a massive problem in this world today. Now, what does it mean, first of all, to exploit someone? Is exploitation always bad? Because there are times when you exploit something and that's perfectly well. To exploit someone means to take an unfair advantage of them. It is to use another person's vulnerability for one's own benefit. Again, as I said, that benefiting from another's vulnerability is not always morally wrong. You and I do not condemn sports players for exploiting a weakness in his opponent's defense or the team, for instance. When they find out that the opponent has a defect, or they don't have a good strategy in the game that they're playing, we'll try and exploit that. So there's no problem in that. But there are some forms of advantage taking that are clearly wrong. That is for those who have a moral conscience and actually have care and concern for other human beings. Because for the most part, if you don't have a moral compass, if you don't especially believe in the true, one and true God, and believe in accountability and a day of judgment and a day of resurrection where you and I will be all accountable for our actions, then for those types of people, there is no real need to have a moral compass. There's no need to worry about negative exploitation of another human being, because at the end of the day, if there's no God, no heaven, no hell, no thing as such thing as karma, then why bother even being a good person? Just be and do what you want to do to get ahead in the life of this world, as some people actually believe. You know, you look at the statistics again, and we always need to go back to the stats because they don't lie. Well, hopefully they don't lie, as long as they're right from the right organizations and institutions that are conducting the research. But you look at the situation in the world today about economic exploitation, the haves and the have-nots. You know, there are people today in this world, on this planet Earth, people who are made, or people rather who make shoes, high-priced sneakers and trainers. And these people literally are making $1 a day for shoes that you and I will go to our favorite sporting goods store to buy for $100, $200, $300 for a pair, if not more. Thousands of dollars some people pay, especially those who are collectors of such sneakers and shoes. And the person who made your shoes literally made a dollar a day. There are people today, brothers and sisters, making one of the best selling smartphones. They work in peak time, they work up to 84 hours a week. What is the average work week? 40 hours, 37 to 40 hours a week. They work upwards of 84 hours a week, making $1.62 an hour. 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And you do the math, they make the amount in 1 month where they could never even imagine buying the phone that you have just spent $1,000 or $1,500 or $2,000 on. They could never afford that phone brand new. It would take them years to save up and try and buy that phone. But yet we can easily go and spend $1,000 or $1,500 on a phone which has been made by somebody in a part of the world yet that doesn't have very stringent labor laws, doesn't have a concept of a minimum wage or a living wage, that are living in, not only working in the factory, but they're living within the compound, maybe sometimes 6, 8, 10, 12 people to a room, having very simple meals because whatever money they make, they send it back home for their family to live. And so we definitely see that in this world, there is a definite imbalance, as we have been looking at so many of the topics in this Ramadan. And not to present a doom and gloom scenario, but to recognize the fact that we live in a world in which humanity is reaching towards levels of corruption and of deviancy, which are unparalleled. And as we have been saying from our very first session, that the only antidote to the cure to the sickness of humanity today is to follow the teachings of Allah, the teachings of God, which are the Quran, and the teachings of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. May God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. Anything short of this would be considered as treasonous to humanity. It would be going against the laws of human rights to take any other way of life and to expect that it has a solution. The Quran has addressed all of these problems, brothers and sisters, the haves and the have-nots, economic disparity, exploitation, economic exploitation of other human beings on earth. God has spoken about this in the Quran. And obviously the antidote, the response, the solution is presented in the Quran or in the Ahadith, the statements of the Prophet and his family. And we just need to, again, delve into these sources and to figure out where is the solution to the ill evils of humanity. So for today, on the topic of economic exploitation, we look at the Quran in chapter number 16, Surah An-Nahl, verse number 92, where Allah presents this parable, the similitude. And he says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَكَذَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثًا تَتَّخِذُونَ أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ أَنْ تَكُونَ أُمَّةٌ هِيَ أَرْبَى مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِنَّمَا يَبْلُوكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَلِيُبَيِّنَنَّ لَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. Allah gives this parable, the similitude. He says, do not be like her, this woman, who destroys her yarn that she made herself strong. Now, let me just pause here for a moment and say that this is a story of a woman who, with her assistants, spent hundreds and hundreds of hours or days or weeks making yarn. Today, we have machinery that can do this, but she was doing it literally by hand. She spent thousands of hours making that yarn, spinning it into a ball of yarn to make maybe a shirt or some piece of clothing. And then she goes and she breaks the whole thing up. She just rips it to shreds. So Allah says, don't be like that person who destroyed her yarn that she made herself strong, betraying thereby her own effort by making your oaths, you as human beings. You make a pledge, a promise, a contract with a country or with a group of people to hire them on. Don't do the same by making your oaths a means of deception among yourselves in order that you may be a community greater in numbers, in power and other worldly things than another community. In this, God is only testing you, and on the day of resurrection, he will certainly make clear to you all that what you used to differ. And this is what the situation is that one country exploits another country. You'll sign a contract to hire people on and you'll agree to abide by certain tenets maybe. And then obviously you use whatever tricks are at your disposal and manipulation to become the superpower of the world, to become the economic hub of the world, to become the manufacturing or whatever of the world. But you've done it by betraying other people. You've done it by betraying another human being. You've done it by, you know, working people in sweatshops for dollars a day, for pennies an hour, making a product which you turn around and sell for thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars. And God shows us in the Quran, brothers and sisters, in this verse, that economic exploitation has always been there. It's always about one people getting over on another, getting larger, more wealthier, having a larger, you know, on the bottom line, their stock price increasing, whatever it may be. It's all about getting higher and higher and more. And even if that means depriving another, a human being of their rights, of their God-given right as a human being, then that is what people will do, unfortunately. Let me conclude with a few thoughts of reflection on this day of Ramadan as we conclude. Point number one, everyone seeks material progress. However, when they do so on the backs of others and end up breaching contracts and agreements, they not only lose face in this world when they're caught, but in any reward which they would have received in the world to come is also destroyed. Point number two, when one individual, company or country becomes too powerful and has a monopoly on a particular industry, there is more of a danger of economic and social imbalances to take place and for people to be taken advantage of. Point number three, and we will conclude, one of the ways which God tests, whether that is his testing of an individual in the position of power or a country in their superpower status, is to see how reliable they are to their agreements with others, especially those in vulnerable situations. God willing, we will continue tomorrow in another episode of Ramadan Reflections for 2021. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.